Manuel Seal penned the words, "What I need from you is understanding," for the R&B group Escaped. There is a major problem in this country, but there's a whole lot of people who don't even believe it exists. We are at a point where people on both sides of this issue are extremely emotional, and one word or statement could trigger an argument or much worse. What we need right now is understanding. But how can we communicate if you don't hear what I say? We need to talk to one another so that we can educate the ignorant, not shame them or belittle them. A friend of mine sent me a video and asked me my opinion. He wanted to talk. He wanted to learn. He wanted to be a solution. He said this, "Hey buddy, just wanted your thoughts on this video because I'm not black, nor have I really been discriminated against because of the color of my skin. I wanted to ask you to share your thoughts with me." He was trying to be a solution. He didn't send the video so he could start an argument. He didn't send the video so that he could even share his opinion. He wanted to educate himself. Welcome to the Edge. Let's get sharp.
This is crazy. My name is Christopher Cofino. Currently reside in Wesley Chapel, Florida. I am a California born and bred native. I currently am a chef at Walt Disney World. And that is where I met my friend Michael Savage. I've been living in Florida for the last 4 years. Really like it down here. Really enjoying it. That's a little bit about me.
That's cool. When we were talking the other day, you said that, first of all, the whole conversation started when you sent me a video and you asked me for my opinion. So when we first started talking about it, you said as a Southern California Latino, you never experienced racism.
Correct.
Let's go into that a little bit more.
So, obviously growing up in Southern California, being only, 70 or 80 miles away from the US-Mexican border, I grew up with a lot of Hispanic people around me. My father is a first generation Cuban. My grandparents came here from Cuba in 1961. My mother is Italian from New York, and my sisters and I are all obviously mixed, but growing up in Southern California, we were never looked down on, and we were never looked at as though we were a lesser person. Which I don't know if that was in part due to my parents maybe protecting us from things that we might not have known about, or if I just was kind of oblivious to everything that was going on. But yeah, growing up in Southern California, being Cuban and Italian, I was kind of looked at as a normal person, nothing different about me. So when I sent you that video, it sparked a little controversy in my mind and my heart, saying, I've never experienced this, and somebody that I look up to and I value their opinion and what they say, I didn't want to assume, but I could, hazard a guess that has probably experienced some sort of bias or prejudice or racism simply because they're black. So rather than, just kind of spewing my mind out on Facebook, I wanted to actually speak with somebody and have a conversation rather than what seems to be the case now is arguments and fights and such. So I wanted to get your opinion and kind of hear your story as well, so that I can learn, so that in the future, when I do get married and have a family, I can teach my kids and show them what it means to treat somebody with respect and treat them equally and appropriately. So, it's kind of my baseline where I'm starting at.
Wow. And I just want to say thank you. First of all, I truly commend you for that. Because there's a lot of people out there that just go on and share their opinion. They don't have all the experience of going through what a lot of these people have gone through. A lot of folks have gone through. They haven't experienced it. They don't really have a lot of information because in the American school system, a lot of history is told with a bias.
Correct. So
they're kind of just speaking their mind to what they know, and they don't even know what they know is actually steeped in ignorance. And so for you to actually ask for a dialogue, I think is extremely commendable on your part. Because like you said, this is not something that that you've experienced personally. And so you're not going to speak on something that somebody else's life that you have gone through personally. And I think that's really awesome. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate being here.
But yeah, so you're awesome, bro. So I wanted to have this conversation as friends. I think the hugest part that that is impacting you is how you said it. You know me, you respect me, you and I have a relationship. So that's why you felt comfortable coming to me. And that,
for real?
And that's another piece of it. A lot of people don't know anybody from, you know, a lot of these people that are kind of one-sided in their argument don't know anybody from the other side of it. You know what I mean? So if I don't integrate, for lack of a better word, or if I don't get out there and actually get to know people that don't look like me, that aren't where I'm from, then how can I truly understand what's going on in the world?
Right. And I think that I will never fully understand what it is that you go through, or even what it is that you and your wife go through. But to be able to have this dialogue, to be able to say, look, I don't know. And I care about you and I want to help. I just don't know how, you know, I think this is what a lot of people are missing, is this dialogue, what you and I are having right now. You know, I think regardless of whether we were friends or not friends, you know, I wouldn't view you any differently just because of your skin color. I mean, you're a funny guy. You make us all laugh. You're an inspirational speaker. You have a gigantic heart. Nothing about Michael Savage says I'm going to treat him different because of his skin color. Everything that I've learned about Michael Savage is that this is a man. Character. This is a man who has a gigantic heart. This is a man who loves the Lord, who is willing to put himself, you know, in harm's way sometimes to be able to help a friend, to be able to, you know, show somebody love. And so I think a lot of people, you know, like you said, I don't know the other side of the fence. You know, we've been quote unquote neighbors, and I don't know what your yard looks like, you know? And so I wanted to peek over the fence and take a gander at your yard.
Right. So, thank you for those kind words, man. I'm tearing up a little bit. but like you said, you got to get to know the other side in order to at least be empathetic.
Absolutely.
For what they're going through. So, the video that you sent me was off of Facebook. I found it. I'm about to play it now.
Okay.
So I'm going to play this video and then we're going to get into a dialogue specifically about the video. I'll address certain things and you can ask whatever questions, or you can address things that popped up when you saw the video. All right.
For sure.
All right. So here we go.
Well, or either a mindset that you can't.
Today,
you
not, yeah. No.
You don't.
No.
I don't.
You and I, we're proof.
Why would race have anything to do with it? Stick your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
Where are we in the United States of America in race relations and what you see from day to day in your life?
Skip, they wouldn't want to ask me that. They wouldn't want my answer to represent it because
God knows I have been nothing but blessed. My whole path, these 33 years have been nothing but a blessing. Never is a strong word, never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to.
There was a class of colored people who made the business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well. That was said by Booker T. Washington.
How are we going to get rid of racism amongst?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man. And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man.
You know, it's frustrating to me that people take race and they make it personal. You know what I mean? Like we're at a loss in this generation. If you look at it in the 80s, Archie Bunker was a stark racist. Stark. If you don't know who Archie Bunker is, look him up. All in the Family. Great show. The Jeffersons, stark racist. Fred Sanford, stark racist. But you know what black people and white people did? They laughed. You watch 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte. Both of them hated each other because he was black and because he was white. You know what they did? They laughed.
But I ask you what the racial breakdown was in your audience. Do you remember this? You told me the only black face you could see in the whole audience was your makeup artist. I believe that's what you said. She was in the front row, right? A lot of white kids love rap.
Yes.
Explain that. What does that say to you? What's the message of it? What's the bigger picture of it?
I don't want to be bashed because I don't want to sound like I'm on the wrong if there is a side, but I thought that was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism. That's what I thought that was.
You know, I said, that, and it's probably getting me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, said, so I know that it's an issue. But it seems like every single day on television, I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle. It's news. Sometimes I get so tired of talking about it. I want to just go, this is over. Can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it. But making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem we have.
And right now, we are in a society where we can't have a conversation because no one's willing to listen.
People are just shouting.
People are just shouting. People are walking down the street, hashtagging everything, but no one's listening.
Using wrong examples to present an argument leads us nowhere forward. I understand the emotion, and I respect my opposition, but when you go into the areas of making false charges and living in the past, you do not address the issues of the present.
And you know, incarceration rates in America has been a problem, especially as opposed to minorities. And Roman delves into this, the issues around the legal system. Do you think we've made any headway?
I think it's more important to make headway in our own house. By the time the system comes into play, the damage is done. They're not locking up 7-year-olds.
In the 1960s, 80%+ of blacks were two-parent homes. Today, that is reversed completely the other way.
I was in Chicago a couple of four weeks ago, and we saw these little kids on bikes with masks on the side of their head, like 5 or 6 of them. And the driver said, yeah, they're little yummies. I said, who? He said, little yummies. Look up. Google little yummy. Mm-hmm. Little yummy was an 11-year-old murderer.
Wow.
And you look at his picture, you see the headshot of him, and he's like this. And he got murdered at 11 by a 14-year-old.
Wow.
Who's doing life now? I'm a 16-year-old.
Makes no sense.
You blame the system? Who was his father?
No one wants to talk about perception when it comes to racial profiling. No one wants to talk about stereotypes when it comes to racial profiling.
Blacks are convinced that the number one issue facing the country right now is social justice, racist white cops, discrimination, systemic racism, microaggression, whatever new word they come up with, and it's a bunch of nonsense.
This is what I know. I'm a certified scuba diver. My first day of class, they told me this. When you're in shark-infested waters, everything in that water is considered a threat until proven otherwise. If it's a guppy, it could be a shark until you know it's a guppy.
And I think as black men, we need to realize we're in shark-infested waters. And if we don't sit our young men down and we don't talk to them about perception and we don't talk to them about stereotypes, we're doing them a huge disservice.
It starts in the house. It starts in the home. And, well, my father got locked up. Well, where was his father?
Yeah.
You know, I did talk about my three closest friends, and they did, you know, 15 and 25. One did 28, this and that. I was the only one of the three that had a father in my life, even though my parents were together. But I still had a father who was a gentle man and a good example. Yeah. And they didn't. We can blame the system if we want it, but they didn't lock any of us up at seven.
Yeah.
We were all doing enough to get locked up at 13. My parents sent me in another direction. They didn't have anybody to help them, and they kept doing what they was doing. And the system got them. So I don't, the system is rigged. All the more reason not to help it.
The number one problem domestically facing this country is a breakdown of the family. And President Obama said it. I didn't. A black kid, or kid, not just a black kid, a kid raised without a dad, is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crimes, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. So you're far more likely to end up in jail without having a dad than you are because of a white racist cop.
Prime example, I got pulled over by the police, come over to my window, flash his light in my face, hand on my pistol. I can handle that two ways. I can start yelling and screaming and telling him he a racist and he don't know me, nah, you're doing this wrong. Or I can say, yes, officer, no, officer, are we done, officer? And both of them will have drastically different outcomes.
Half the homicides in this country are committed by and against black people. Last year, there were 14,000 homicides, not talking about suicides, talking about homicides. Mm-hmm. Half of them were black, 96% of them black on black of that 7,000. Where's the Black Lives Matter people on that?
What happens with young black men, everything is susceptible to the question of your manhood. Mm-hmm. And what's going on in these streets ain't got nothing to do with my manhood. If I'm going to fight a police, I'm going to fight him in a controlled environment, a court of law. I'm not going to fight him on the street.
In Baltimore, where Freddie Gray was killed, Freddie Gray died in a van. I shouldn't say was killed, died in a van.
Yeah.
You have a city that's 45% black. City council is 100% Democrat. The majority of city council is black. The top cop at the time was black. The number two cop was black. The majority of the command staff is black. The mayor is black. The AG is black, and yet here we are talking about racism. I mean, it's absurd.
All cops aren't bad cops. 99% of cops are really good dudes and women. 99% of the people I've met that are cops are dope. I have a lot of friends that are cops. But that 1%, that's the problem. And you want to give yourself every opportunity not to end up a statistic.
965 people were shot by cops last year and killed. 4% of them were white cops shooting unarmed blacks. In Chicago in 2011, 21 people were shot and killed by cops. In 2015, there were 7. In Chicago, which is a third black, a third white, and a third Hispanic, 70% of the homicides are black on black. About 40 per month, almost 500 per year last year in Chicago, and 75% of them are unsolved. Where is the Black Lives Matter on that? The idea that a racist white cop shooting unarmed black people is a peril to black people is BS.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month? What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well, come on, tell me. Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There is
one. Oh, why not? Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
Abraham Lincoln, as my colleague said, fought a war to preserve the Union. That republic allowed for the people of the United States, under our Constitution, to amend it, therefore removing slavery, and then moving forward to the Voting and Civil Rights Act, and also the suffrage movement for women.
At the same time, and you would say it as strong as anyone, it's no excuse for bombing and destroying your own neighborhood. And burning down wherever it's happening, burning down storefronts and stores that people
with mobs is how they get turned into that. What's to be gained? You know, if you stop for one split second to think, burning and looting doesn't help you in any way.
I understand you're upset. Like it was already said, I doubt y'all and y'all have as upset as I am. So if I'm not over here wilding out, if I'm not over here blowing up stuff, if I'm not over here messing up my community, then what are y'all doing?
I will always continue to say that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that non-violence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve.
Let's switch it up, y'all. Let's switch it up. Do this peacefully. Please. My brother Moon here from Houston, and I used to talk to him on the phone. He loved it here. He started driving trucks. He was good. So I know. He would not want y'all to be doing it.
So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way.
All right, so that was the video from MRC TV. I played that off of YouTube. They have a YouTube channel, so you could go on and you could find that video. The title says, What the Left Won't Tell You About the Plight of Black People and the Myth of Systematic Racism. And also the YouTube title says Black Celebrities Who Destroy the Myth of Systematic Racism. And that was the video you sent me with a lot of questions on your heart. So what was it about that video that sparked something on the inside of you?
I think there were just a lot of... There were a lot of points and a lot of personal notes that all of these men had made. And I wanted to know if it was real, you know, if what these men who are very influential, celebrities, actors, musicians, musicians, people who have a voice that is heard, why do they see what's going on differently than what everything that's being portrayed on the media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? Why are there two such drastically differing sides? Like, it almost seems that within the Black community, it seems that there's already fighting. So my curiosity became, okay, well, what was their lifestyle like, and how does that differ from maybe what some Blacks or African Americans are experiencing now? And that's why I wanted to get your opinion, because I know that you're going to cut it straight with me. You're not going to be around the bush. But yeah, it made me stop and think, is what I'm hearing and seeing on TV the whole story, or is there more?
Right.
So that's really what triggered and sparked this idea of just having a conversation about it, seeing where everybody's at.
Right. So, and I thought that when I first saw your video and when I first saw the message that you sent me, that's precisely what I thought was the issue. So you're coming from a perspective of never having experienced any type of racism, never having experienced any type of police brutality or police harassment or being profiled or anything like that. And so you see what's going on in the world. You turn on the TV, you see that people are screaming systematic racism, and you see people are protesting and picketing, right, and the whole world is going crazy. So you having, not having experienced mm-hmm. it, start to research, start to try to educate yourself, and the first thing you see is it doesn't even exist. So you have one side of it that says this is a huge right. problem, has been for hundreds of years, because this is how the country was right. founded. And then you see the complete other side that says it's all BS and it doesn't even right. exist. So, and you're like, having never experienced
you see where it, the confusion like, lies, right?
What's going, what going on? So I you need some help. And a lot of black people, a lot of celebrities are condemning the people who haven't experienced racism, or just, you know, European people who are trying to educate themselves, because they're calling on their black friends and family to say help. Like, what do I right. need to know? What should I be watching? What should I be doing right now? And they're being almost attacked because black people are like, we're like, it's not our job to right. teach you. And for the most part, I agree with that. It is not our job to teach you. But again, I'm a man of faith. So in the Bible, it talks about the fivefold ministry. And one of the fivefold is a teacher, you know? And so there's a passage of scripture that says, how can they call upon the Lord unless they first believe? And how can they believe if they don't know he exists? And how can they know he exists if nobody is there to right. teach them? So that those layers of, they're understanding that there's mm-hmm. a problem. They're understanding that there needs to be education, because that's the only solution for ignorance, is being educated, is learning, getting mm-hmm. that knowledge. But then when they reach out to get somebody to help, nobody is willing right. to step up. So that's kind of why I wanted to do this, because I know that it is my job. When I was praying, when I was going after God, asking him for my purpose, why am I here? What am I supposed mm-hmm. to be doing? He said, teach, to train, to motivate, to mentor, to equip, and to empower. So the first thing he told me was, I'm supposed to teach. So that's what I wanted to do for you. That's what I wanted to do for all of my listeners who are curious yeah. about this thing. So let's tear the video up. One thing I want to say off top is that Martin Luther King segment, when he was talking about peaceful mm-hmm. protest and how this is the way we should do things, I do agree with the sentiment that looting doesn't help anything. Looting doesn't change anything. I'm not saying it's not necessary, because again, that's how the country was founded. You know, the Boston Tea Party has been referenced. They destroy yep. goods. That's essentially looting. And that's what got the attention of somebody to start the American Absolutely. Revolution. But I think what peaceful protest does is it shows you who the real monsters are.
Okay.
So in the 1960s, during those sit-ins, they did nothing except sit at a counter and ask right. to be served. They were mobbed, they were right. attacked, they were spit on, they were screamed at. There are several protests that were peaceful. They got beat, they got water hoses right. turned on them, they got dogs mm-hmm. released on them. During the integration era, when the Little Rock Nine was going to school to integrate a white school, again, they were mobbed, they were attacked, they were spit on, they were cursed at, they were called any and everything except the child of God. And again, that was peaceful protest. So they're showing you right there, we're only trying mm-hmm. to change. We're only trying to move this nation forward. We're only trying to get equal rights. We're only trying to be viewed as human beings, because for a long time, we were not viewed as human beings, and the real monsters come out mm-hmm. of the woodwork. Real monsters attack, and the real monsters do what they need to do to try to beat you back into your corner. So that's what peaceful protest right. does. And the other thing is, protest is supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to get in the way of your day. So if it's not supposed to be something that you can readily ignore,
right.
you know what I'm saying? So when protesters, they do stuff like stand in the middle of streets and roadways, you know, that's supposed to get your attention. Like, If you can just go about your day, oh yeah, they're protesting right, they over there. I'm gonna go about my day and do everything like I normally do. Then what's the point of the protest? The protest is supposed to bring change. That's what it's for. So I definitely wanted to make that point first. I don't know everybody in the video. I didn't do my research, so there's a couple names that I don't know. But I know Lil Wayne was in the video. Morgan Freeman was in the video. Anthony Mackie, Don Lemon, Larry Elders. He was the gentleman that had all the stats. Denzel Washington, George Floyd's brother was the one who was condemning the shooters in the stop. So that brings it all the way up until today. So, in your opinion, racism does exist or doesn't?
In my opinion, to give an opinion on racism, let me just be sure. Racism. So by definition, racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership of a particular racial or ethnic group. So by the true definition of what racism is, I can't sit here and be ignorant to say that racism doesn't exist. In that same breath, though, I can say I don't know if I've ever seen it in person, except maybe on the news or as depicted in movies. I can't. It'd be silly for me to sit here and say no, racism doesn't exist. It's a myth. It's a legend made up by one or the other political party for whatever reason, or maybe somebody was mad at somebody and now they've started this, that, and the other. But no, by definition, if we just go out of Webster's Dictionary, then absolutely racism exists. It's to what degree it's viewed, I think, is where I struggle. Is I know it's there, and I've heard the stories. I've seen the news. I never experiencing it myself. I don't know if I've even seen it. So how can I identify a situation where racism is being played out in the flesh if I've never seen it? So again, that was one of the other reasons I wanted to come to you, because I wanted to know like what's an experience. For example, if I get pulled over by a police officer, my first inclination isn't I'm scared for my life. My first inclination is I'm going to get a ticket and my mom's going to kill me. And that's my
concern. Right.
So
that's amazing, bro. That's a good feeling.
And I know
that's not a good feeling, but it's better than what other people have experienced.
Exactly. And so hearing people speak on the news and in media saying, saying that exact thing is that when a young black man or woman gets pulled over by a police officer, their first thought isn't, oh no, mom's going to kill me because I am going to have to pay for a ticket. Their first thought is, what if this cop looks at me sideways and I'm black and I'm alone and anything can happen? Then the fear becomes for their life rather than just a financial fear, I don't think I've ever experienced it. And if my parents have sheltered me from it, then kudos to them for being able to protect their kids, because they've done a great job raising myself and both my sisters. Nothing against them, but I think if it might have been talked about more in my home, because again, it wasn't a thing. I think it would have been, I might have had a different idea of it maybe going through high school and into college and even now, and going into somebody's late 20s, early 30s, understanding what the real issue is and how to be able to solve it. I think that's my biggest issue is I just don't even know how to help. I want to help. I'm willing to help. I just don't know how.
You went to school with people of other cultures?
Absolutely, yeah. When I was in high school, my high school in Southern California was situated literally across the street from an Indian reservation and casino. And so what was really cool is that Pechanga Casino, the Pechanga Indian tribe, would donate $50,000 to every high school that opened up in the valley. So when my high school opened, it was brand new. We had all new artificial turf fields, projectors in every classroom. I mean, we had the works. And everybody assumed that because we were across the street from Pechanga, that we got a little extra money or we got a little extra help. And then it skewed the vision of other people's view on the high school and then on the reservation itself. And so I went to school with Blacks, whites, tons of Hispanics, Native Americans, I mean, all creeds, all colors, probably majority white in my high school. But I was one of those guys that reached out to everybody, played football. So I had a lot of friends on the football team of mixed races and different colors. So yeah, I went to that was a trip. It kind of blew my mind too then, as well as it does now, of why are you guys looking at this group of people any differently than any other group of people? You know, they live in a country where you are free to make choices that you want. And the beauty of Christ is that God has given us the ability the ability of free will. I can make decisions on my own. I am my own.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to that conversation. Part 2 will be in just a few days. But here's my final thought for this episode. Here are the facts. Racism is real and has been real for hundreds of years. Fact number 2, racism is not the only problem. We all know it. It isn't the only problem facing America, and it definitely isn't the only problem in the African American community. 3, the word priority was never intended to be pluralized. A priority is the one thing that is of utmost importance. 4, right now, in the eyes of the African American community, racism in the form of overt violence, i.e. police brutality and lynching, has become the priority. We need solutions, not arguments. Fact 5, facts can be changed. Please remember, you are not a mistake, and even in this problem, you can be a solution. I love you.